Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing your report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Start things off as we do every Saturday morning now in the spring, talking golf, and we're in the studios, Kip Stender, and we're talking about the girls' golf team. So a couple of events starting a week ago.
Last Saturday, we traveled to Oakdale Golf Course, kind of southwest of Hutchinson, met up with Southwest Christian out of Chaska. Bill Hogue is the head coach there and fundraising company person, so a lot of people out here know him. His wife, I believe, is from Bellingham. So we got that worked out. It was a nice day, a little windy, but really nice course, very challenging course. We had never played it before, so some blind holes that were, you got to hit a perfect shot to have a good second shot. We would probably score a little better the next time around we go there, but all in all, the girls made some improvement over the week, so that was nice to see. Southwest Christian won the event with a 361, and Lacaparra, we shot a 368. The medalist on the day was Kendall Hogue with a 78, very nice round. Molly Halverson was second with an 86. Caitlin Kittleson third with a 90. Grace Vasek, possibly one of her personal bests, for sure one of the nines, I believe, 94. Peyton Sachs, a 98. Kate Alstead, a 111, and Carly Kranz, a 121. And then we had the conference meet on Thursday. The Marshall invite was postponed Tuesday, so we'll make that up next Tuesday. So Thursday, conference was at Madison. Dawson Boyd won the event with a 188. Lacaparra was second, 198, and Community Christian was third with a 250. Medalist on the day was Molly Halverson with a 43. Second was Lindsay Lund with a 44. Alyssa Swadinsky finished third with a 46. Caitlin Kittleson finished fifth with a 48. Kate Alstead shot a 53 for ninth. Peyton Sachs, 54. Grace Vasek, 58. And Carly Kranz, 64. So that rounded out our conference meet there. JV also that day went to Raymond. Macy Zarbuck finished third and got a medal for the JV with a 59. And Kaylee Nelson shot a 69. So a pretty good day for the girls there. The Madison course plays tough. It's longer for the girls. Tee boxes are shared with the men's other than one hole. And so it's a longer course. But we're making progress, improving, and working hard to get to a certain point at the end of the year. Currently in Class A, after 5-6 rounds, Dawson's leading the scoring average in Class A. Bold is second. Fillmore Central's third, and we're fourth. So we've known for years, Dawson, Bold, and us are three of the top teams out there. So it'll be a very competitive section, and they're all working hard to get better, and it makes all of us better because we all work hard to keep doing that.
And here earlier in the week, he had had a special guest out here talking to the girls and the parents and anybody that wanted to show up. And a fairly good turnout for a Monday night with other things going on. And
Yvonne Marquez Schmidt was able to come out and speak to our golf fundraiser banquet. First time we tried, kind of a banquet. I always bring a speaker in at the end of the season, banquet and talk and cover some motivational things, different things. But I just had been talking to her husband, John, and he's like, well, she'd be willing to probably speak. And I thought, well, let's go for it. Let's make a big fundraiser out of it. And, we raised over $2,400 and we're still getting some money in. So very successful fundraiser. And really a big thank you to the community members that were able to attend and family and friends. And so the VFW for, you know, hosting it and helping out that way. And so it was, yeah, she did a nice job, you know, to be a person that loses your eyesight before the age of two and you know, do the life she had. It was just amazing. And she did a Ryan in some of her experiences in life with the girls. She did a good job of interacting with the community members that were there and, you know, doing some clapping things and answering questions and stuff. So the one word when she said, ask the girls what describes your team and grit, that was the one thing that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And as long as we keep believing we have that grit, you know, we're going to continue to improve and close that gap. So
all the obstacles that she faced, boy, she shared some of them, and some of our problems aren't so bad when you look at that.
Yeah, right. I had one golfer, you know, I said, hey, I heard your mom told you that you can do anything in life now. I don't want to hear any excuses. She's like, yeah, I heard it all the way home, coach.
Well, you mentioned a fundraiser, and you got a great idea of what you're going to do with that money.
Yeah, we got some software that we just got in, and we'll get it on our phones and iPads, so we'll be able to, you know, record their swings and slow it down and show them and draw lines and hopefully get a better understanding of, you know, golf and all sports. You know,
right.
Even in basketball, you learn to shoot with your ball down and it's going to get blocked, but you don't know it. And that feels natural. Every time you go to shoot, you're going to revert back to that natural position, and you need it up higher and release it higher. The same thing in golf. You swing, it feels comfortable, and the swing is outside in, and that ball's not going to go as far, and it's also going to probably slice and tail and have issues, be inconsistent. So we want to get that swing inside out. And so to get that understanding, then you got to really, you know, learn that difference in feel is good, even though it's not feeling comfortable.
And then also for younger girls that might want to try golf, they don't have the clubs. So I think part of that fundraiser will be to buy some clubs that they could use.
Yeah, we're going to get a couple sets that are different sizes. It's
right.
Important to have appropriate size, you know, length of club shafts for different kids, and then as they progress, the flex of the shaft or the stiffness of the shaft is important to fit that for their swing speeds. So do a little bit of that, and appreciate the donations.
Yeah, and that's really great. So, what do you got on the agenda this up and coming week?
Well, Monday they moved the conference in Dawson to Monday, so that a lot of the teams in our conference are in the Marshall invite. So the makeup date was Tuesday, which was going to be the Dawson conference meet. So conference Monday in Dawson at 4:30, and then 1:00 Tuesday the Marshall Invitational.
Okay. Well, best of luck on those, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right. So real quick question for you, Dick. Why do golfers wear nice, wrinkle-free clothes?
No idea.
They have 9 irons.
Okay. We'll take this break and...
Paul?
Yep. With Darby?
Yep.
And Darby Biergun will be talking baseball after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher, prime sirloin steaks are 8 and all fish 10% off.
Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Back here at the studio talking baseball with Darby Biergun, and it was hard to see him when he walked in the studio because he's got all his camouflage on because he's all turkey hunting. So let's talk baseball.
Yeah, that sounds good. We had two games this week, Dick, that we were going to talk about. Monday we went to Hancock and came away with a 16-9 win. And Thursday was our home opener, and we came back with an 11-0 win against RCW.
Okay.
So on Monday we went to Hancock. It was actually a very nice day. It was their first game played on their new field. And non-conference games, we were able to throw some guys that hadn't thrown for a while and get them some innings in and stuff like that. So it was a marathon of a game. It took a long time, but we came away at the win, and that was a good thing. So our first run we scored was in the second, and they backed it up with a run themselves. So we were tied at 1-1, and then in the third we put up three runs. And then in the fourth inning, they put up just some hard luck walks and some errors that led to some runs for them. But it was a good time for us to get some guys on the mound and chew up some innings and see what they had and stuff like that. So, and then in the fifth, we put one up, so we started crawling back. In the sixth, we put up five. And in the seventh, we put up six and ended up going home with a 16-9 win. So, okay. On the mound, Davis Patzer started for us. He went three innings. He gave up one hit, one run, one earned run, no walks, and he struck out four. Then we went to TJ, and he just had some tough luck with trying to find the zone a little bit, and we threw TJ Mitchell, and then we threw Earp a little bit, Tyler Earp, and both threw a third of an inning, and then we brought Brock in, and he threw one and a third. He ended up getting the win. He gave up one hit, no runs, no earned, no walks, and he struck out four. And then the last two innings, Baxter Cullough threw for us. So he threw two innings. Okay. He gave up one hit, and he had one strikeout. So hitting-wise, we had a good day at the plate. We were knocking the ball around. Caden Molden hit the ball really hard. He hit the double off the fence. Then he had a hard single to right that once it hit the ground, it scooted right past the third base or right fielder and ended up on third base. So that was a screamer, one of those that maybe the right fielder maybe even ducked out of the way after he saw it coming off the ground. So yeah. Hitting on the day, Dylan Geiser was 3-for-5 with two runs, two stolen bases, and three RBIs. And I'm going to talk about these RBIs here shortly. Caden Molden was 2-for-5 with two runs, a double, and three RBIs. Caden Mortensen was 2-for-3 with two runs, a double, two walks, and three RBIs. T.J. Mitchell was 2-for-4 with a run and a walk and two stolen bases. Davis Patzer was 0-for-1, but it was a sacrifice fly, which brought in an RBI for him. Baxter Cullough was 1-for-1 with a walk and an RBI. Tyler Earp was 0-for-2 with a run, a walk, and an RBI, and a stolen base. Braden Danzeason was 1-for-2 with a run. Weber was 1-for-2 with two runs, a walk, an RBI, and two stolen bases. And Peyton Rademacher was 2-for-4 with two runs and an RBI. And he could have been 3-for-4, but it was a hard luck fielder's choice at the end of the game. Very odd double play where he was not credited for a hit, but he should have been 3-for-4 in that game. So the RBIs are 2, 3, and 4 hitters all had 9 RBIs total. Wow. So 3 each. That is huge for that part of the lineup. So sure. Very, very happy with how they produced there in that game. So yeah, Hancock, and then we had our home opener on Thursday, a cold one. I think I was colder at the game than I was this morning out in the turkey blind. So, the press box was heated, so I saw you guys in T-shirts and stuff up there, and I was a little jealous of that. But thanks to all the fans that came out, first of all, because it was a good turnout for such a cold game. And I talked to my wife, who had been working the concession stand, and some others, and they said they were busy the whole night. So that was a good thing. Yeah. So
a good crowd.
Yeah, really good crowd for a cold game. So. Right. So anyways, that was against Renville County West. We put up four in the first, and then we did not score again until the fourth, but we put up seven, and we ended up with 11, and they did not score, so we went home with a five-inning, 11-0 win. On the mound starting for us was Dylan Geiser. He threw three innings. He got the win. He gave up three hits, two walks, and he struck out six. Then Caden Mortensen came in and threw two innings, no hits, no runs, no errors, a walk, and four strikeouts. Hitting for us, Dylan Geiser was 2-for-2 with two runs, a walk, and two stolen bases. Molden was 1-for-3 with a run, a walk, and two RBIs. Caden Mortensen had a home run, a towering shot to left field. He was 1-for-2 with two runs, a home run, as I said, a hit by pitch, two RBIs, and a stolen base. TJ was 1-for-3 with two runs and a stolen base. Davis was 1-for-3 with a run and a stolen base. And our other runs came from Dylan Keimig, Peyton Rademacher, and Brock Bierneld. Cale Benson and Landon Weber each had a stolen base on the day, too. So our first three games, I think the first two games, we had eight stolen bases, and I think we were above eight in that RCW game. So we're aggressive on the bases, which we kind of knew coming into the season, and we're going to keep taking advantage of that as long as we can.
Well,
so
you've got a very fast team there that are good, smart base runners in those first three games anyway.
Right, yeah. There's still some stuff we need to clean up, obviously,
sure.
In that RCW game, just some blunders that we made that we were just not thinking at the time, and that's okay. It's early in the season, so I'm glad that we're taking care of them now so we can talk about it and clean it up so later in the year we're not making those same mistakes. But we are aggressive, and we're fast, and we're getting good reads on the pitchers.
Nice thing about baseball for pitchers and catchers, when they get on base, you can have somebody run for them?
Yes, yep. And we have courtesy runners, and that allows them to get their gear on and speed up the pace of the game, and also gives the pitcher a time, like on Thursday, a chance to go into the dugout and warm up, put on a jacket, and keep their arm warm, too, for the safety of,
sure.
of the players, which is a real nice
sure.
thing.
Yeah.
So,
not all teams have that luxury to replace a pitcher or a catcher with somebody with speed.
Right, yep, and that's our plan, is to try to put somebody on the bases that can help us out and get around them quickly.
Because your pitchers and your catchers could steal bases themselves.
Yep, absolutely, yep, so. Yep. And they're fast too, so yeah. it gives them a break, and if we can replace speed with speed, we'll take that anytime we can.
How about the JV team?
Oh, JV, I forgot to mention them the last time I was on the air. They at CMCS, they won their first game, and then at Hancock on Monday, they ended up tying. They did not get to play many innings there because our game took so long and they don't have lights, so we had to call the game. I think they maybe got 2.5 innings in, and they ended in a 2-2 tie.
Okay.
And then they beat RCW, and I think they got a full 5 innings in at least on Thursday. And so they are 2-0-1 on the year. And I think if I heard right, the 7th and 8th grade had on Thursday as well in that cold out at the high school. The 8th grade, I think, ended up winning by one, and I believe the 7th grade ended up losing by one. So good, close, competitive games there.
No, they were against Benson.
Against Benson, yeah. I believe. And the 7th grade is on their way down to Marshall for a tournament down there. So hopefully they're packing up and staying warm there. And then they turn around, both 8th and 7th grade, play Ortonville on Monday.
Okay. And what's your schedule on Monday?
Our schedule is
this past week.
The upcoming week, we go. So this Ortonville game's been postponed a couple times because of one, rain, and then two, coldness on Friday. Yep. So we play Ortonville at 4:30 on Monday. That's a conference game. Then we turn around and go down to TMB. We'll be playing in Milroy at 4:30, so that'll be an early out for the guys. Long bus ride, but a conference game, so we got to be ready to roll. And then we have another home game against McCray on Thursday. So three conference games this week, and all important as always.
I might just add that Milroy field is almost over the years almost like a home field for the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, that's where a lot of the playoff games are played.
Wow.
And stuff, so we know the way down there and we know what the field conditions are like and what the dugouts, everything like that, the concession stand, everything.
Okay, well, thanks for the chat this morning. Best of luck in those games this up and coming week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Perfect, appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Sunday on an all-new Prairie Sportsman.
It's been great. It's a great bunch of guys.
The first year, I believe, was 1987.
And we caught a lot of fish over the years, frankly.
We're all getting to the age where who knows how much longer it'll last, but we're still having fun.
Spiny water fleas are an invasive zooplankton that have been in Minnesota since at least the 1990s. Spiny water fleas are almost inedible for other small fish.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. I'm with Molly Hennon and Andrew Schmidt. They are heading up the community ed boys volleyball team this year, and hopefully in a couple of years, guys, we can have a high school boys volleyball team. Right, Andrew?
That's the plan right now.
Yep. So how many guys you got all for boys volleyball right now?
Currently, 7th through 12th, we've got 22 on the roster.
And you and Molly are kind of teaching or heading it up?
I'm the strength and conditioning coach, and Molly is the actual coach.
Is that right, Molly?
Yeah, he kind of helps me with drills, and then when they mess around, he puts them on the line, makes them do killers. So we work good together as a team. And then his wife kind of does the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah,
so
Hope does the behind the scenes work, huh?
Yep, she's working a lot on that. Right now, we've got of our 22, we're hoping to have a JV team and a varsity team.
Okay. So you got 22 boys out for boys volleyball.
Yes, that is correct.
So what's the goal here? I know the Minnesota High School League, qualified or approved the volleyball league, right, Molly?
Yeah, so right now we have three schools, Dawson, Lacaparle, and Wilmer, and I think us and Dawson are doing it through community ed, and then Wilmer's doing it kind of like a club team. So it's to eventually make it a Minnesota State High School sport, and it'll be in the spring, so what we're doing right now. So we'll just have the three tournaments, Dawson, Lacaparle, and Wilmer.
Okay. Yep. When is the first boys volleyball match then?
First one's here at Lacaparle, April 27th, starting at 10 o'clock. And it'll be a round-robin style with those two other towns.
Okay, with Dawson, Boyd, and Wilmer.
That is correct, yep.
So I know the boys' volleyball is really big in the metro area. Is it growing out here in southwest Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of our long, so it's good that now they get to have more competition. Some of them already go and travel to different states for competition, so you can tell with how well they've been playing together. But hopefully more schools hear about it and want to join, because this might be kind of like a trial run year. But it's been fun so far, so we're hoping to see some improvement and kind of implement some rotations and stuff too. So
actually, I'm out here at practice one day last week, and boy, the guys really look like they're having fun, Andrew.
They're having fun, and they're quite good at what they're doing, too. Yeah. So it'll be fun to see what they do in a competition.
Right. I plan to be out here on Saturday the 27th. We'll broadcast our first ever boys volleyball match. How about that, Molly?
Yeah, that'll be fun. They'll be excited, I'm sure.
I should say me and your wife will help me out.
Yes, right. Hopefully. Okay. That's right.
And that's open to the public then?
Yep. Anybody can come out. It's just going to be a no gate fee, just a free will donation at the door.
Okay.
And the girls' volleyball team is going to run like the lines, judges, and things like that.
Okay.
And we have a couple volunteers. I know Sherry Hansen is going to be one of the referees, and hopefully one other one, and there we go.
All right. And then hopefully get a bunch of matches in this year and get a little more organized next year, Molly.
Yeah, it should be fun. Hopefully more boys hear about it. And it's kind of funny, like, with girls, sometimes you have to yell at them to talk, like, because volleyball is such a communication sport. But I'm, like, telling them to be quiet because they're, like, not stop talking. So it's a good thing. But sometimes when I'm explaining drills, I'm like, all right, you got to be quiet and listen now.
That's right. Yeah, it's a little different than girls, huh?
Yes, they're very loud.
Molly knows what she's doing, Andrew.
She knows what she's doing. I know how to coach boys pretty good. So I brought my whistle to the first practice for a reason.
Okay.
And, yeah, we can do it together.
All right, thanks, guys. I'll let you get back. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul.
You bet. And so tune in around 10 o'clock, I'm guessing, Saturday, April 27th, for the first ever boys volleyball broadcast here on Q92.
Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. As we've been saying, in the spring, we start at 8:30, and we've already had baseball and girls' golf, and the rest of the coaches will be on in this until 10 o'clock. We're going to start things out talking with John Sherb on the track meet that they had this week. And John, you coach both boys and girls, so you got a lot of responsibilities, but you got a good coaching staff, and they work very well with both the boys and the girls.
Yeah, we do, and that's one benefit of it. You can do this when you have both cover each other. And if I'm gone, they're able to cover practice without me. If someone else is gone, we're able to cover practice, so that's really, really good. So,
right.
Yeah, no, we got our meet moved from Tuesday to Monday. I know that screwed some plans up for some people and weren't able to make it, and that's the way. So we just, whatever bodies we had that can compete, we competed on Monday just. And it was a good thing we did it because the rest of the week was pretty crappy the rest of the week. So we were lucky to get it in. A little windy, and it got a little cold there at the end. That east wind to south wind really made it tough there. But I thought our kids handled the conditions well. We're still growing in a lot of spots on both sides. So that's the other thing is you get used to running these conditions. We'll hopefully be stronger mentally and physically to go through. So girls 100-meter dash, Bailey Bothan was our top runner. She was in fifth place at 14.75. Hannah Olley was seventh at 14.97. 200-meter dash, Sadie Hacker was sixth at 30.69. Atiana Specht was 8th at 31.48. Marn Woolley was 10th at 31.68. And Macy Coyer was 11th at 31.69.
Before you continue, yep. But how many teams were there?
There was nine teams were okay. There. So it worked out. Again, just take what you get. Like I said, it got long. The meet got longer than probably we liked. At least it wasn't as long as the Lakeview meet. It was a six-hour meet. This one, we didn't get done until about 8:30, but when you're going 7 through 12, see, that's the other thing we brought junior high kids okay. with. So it got to be a really, really long
unlimited.
They limited it a little bit, but I'm kind of in good standing with the Monty coaches, so they allowed me to put some extra sprinters in, and yeah. that's good. And that's kind of, you know, I think that's kind of the rapport of the programs. You get along with each other, and you support one another. So we're able to do a couple extra things, so we got a bunch of extra kids in those 100s and 200s, so it helped a ton. Right. In the 400-meter dash, Micaiah Poost was fourth at 107.52. Daytona Bissett was ninth at 113.72. Then in the 800-meter run, Bryn Glegge was third overall at 245.52. Harper Grunholz was seventh at 302. Girls' mile, Chloe Glegge was second at 614. She did the ugly double of trying to do 4x8 and mile. It's really, really close to do it, but again, like I told her, I said, we're working on conditioning. We're working just to get something through we can. So she jumped in that. And you could tell she was gassed, that last part. She didn't have that little bit of a stride. But that's what we were putting some of these kids in a little tighter spots just to see what they can handle, the conditioning, and just trying to work that much more through. Girls 100-meter dash, Ayanna Hasted was third at 18.81 in the 100 hurdles. Yep, and she was third in there. And then in the relays, we got into the relays there, and 4x1, we were third overall. That was Ayanna Hasted to Bailey Bothan to Sadie Hacker to Hannah Oy, and that was for 58.31. Oh, and I forgot, 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was 10th at 59.40. Ella Stock was 13th at 102, and Cameron Olson was also at 14th at 103. And Alexis did actually place in the 7th in the 100 hurdles. So, again, young girls, putting them in spots, see where they can handle themselves. And I think we did a really good job with that. 4x2, Morgan. We were 4th overall. That was Morgan Hansen to Sadie Rosendahl to Bailey Bothan to Addie Tufto. They went 204.58. 4x400 meter run, we actually ran two teams of that just to kind of get some extra work out. And a good thing our distance crew kind of was willing to throw one together. So we had our original of our 4x8. They were 4x4. They were third. That was Ayanna Hasted, Micaiah Poost, Sadie Hacker, Addie Tufto. They went 442.60. Then in our distance crew, that was Chloe Glegge to Bryn Glegge to Daytona Bissett and to Harper Grunholz, and they went 501.16. 4x8, the second overall at 1156. That was Chloe Glegge to Bryn Glegge to Harper Grunholz, and then also then finish up Micaiah Poost. High jump, Ian Hasted was second, tied for second in the high jump at 4'10". Sadie Hacker was ninth. Sadie Rosendahl. I got too many Sadies on the team. Sadie Rosendahl was ninth at 4'2". Then in the long jump, Abigail Lonza was sixth overall at 12'7¾". Reese McCoy was eighth at 12'6¾". And in the girls' triple, Reese McCoy was fifth overall. She was at 28'11". And then Morgan Anderson was sixth at 28.08½, and then Alexis Olson was seventh at 28'5". So again, they're just kind of building. I know the coaches have got them moving along nicely, and it's coming along. Haley Anderson won the shot put with a toss of 32'7½". Isabel Long Henry was in fourth at 26'6½". Girls discus, Haley Anderson won the disc. Also, she had the deal daily double at 98'4", and Isabel Long Henry was 10th at 68'1". Girls team placed third with 111 points. Camby Mineota won it with 219. Benson Camus 140, and we were third at 111. So, again, happy with the way the girls competed. You know, just we're still trying to figure these things out and trying to get some decent weather, and that's just a kind of it's one thing or the other. You're cold and wind, or just wind. It's just we haven't really, you know, Morris, our first meet was probably our nicest one, but hopefully it's got to change a little bit here soon and we can have something that these kids really can find out how fast and how well they can compete. Boys 100-meter dash, Tygan Allpress was seventh. He was 12.17. I thought he had probably his best 100-meter run of the day of the season so far. He's usually been solid through 60, and then in that last 40 has been a little bit of a struggle for him. He looked more complete getting through that last 100, so that was making sure that was it's a better for him. He also came back in 200. He was eighth in the 200 at 26.11. Gunnar Olsen, who was dueling with he's doing tennis and also running track, and he came and was able to come in to have a tennis match, so he came and he ran that 200. Didn't have spikes on, just jumped in some running shoes and just the shoes he was wearing were probably smoother than NASCAR tires. They were that smooth. He still finished 10th at 26.96, but it's still, he was willing to jump in and do it. You know, my biggest concern was, you know, what's the hamstrings going to like? We don't need to pull anything, push being cold, but no, he looked good and ran through it, so that was good to see him. And he had a smile on his face when he got done, so that's all you can ask. 400-meter dash, Tanner Callis was second at 56.96. Boys 800-meter run, Gavin Carl was third at 214.01. And then Matthew Borman was 12th at 238.64. Boys 1600-meter run, Gavin Carl was second at 459.94. And then Tayden Clark was third at 513.90. 110 hurdles. James Weber was second at 16.69. Riley Borman was eighth at 20.48. Then in the 300 hurdles, James really, really hit the hurdles well. I mean, not literally hit the hurdles, but he really attacked the hurdles very, very well. His fastest time of the season, but he looked really sharp. And that's what you kind of look at that because he's got to get that time down at 41s. That's what we're hoping to get there. And so he's getting closer. But he won it with 42.63. Riley Borman was 7th at 50.29. And then Joseph Felton was 8th at 50.42. 4x1 boys, we retooled that a little bit because we had a couple of kids going on that one. So we had to kind of make some changes. I hope I don't miss what I had on that one. But again, it was just kind of get a time and see where we're at with the kids that were gone. So we had Dave Torgerson. He went to All Press. And then we also had Kate. Let's see, I've got to make sure I remember everybody got here. So many people through my mind. Right. Gabe Lowry. And then we also had Noah Meyer in there. So they were fourth overall, 52.40. I was just starting to write things down when we started, so I didn't get them all down. And so that was good just to kind of – we mixed and matched in a little bit and filled in and thought the kids really handled the stick. And that's one thing I was very happy with, the stick handling. Most of the sticks were pretty good with the relays. 4x2, they were fourth overall. That was Eli Hagelin to Dave Torgerson to Tanner Callis to – Caden Kessler, and they were time at 146.23. 4x4, they won it. That was with James Weber to Caden Clark to Gavin Carl to Tanner Callis. And again, 348.54. And just seeing what they can do. High jump, Eli Hagelin won the high jump at 5'10". No, they had no vaulters. And then the long jump. Tygan Allpress was third overall at 17.10. Eli Hagelin was fourth at 17.6. Caden Kessler was sixth at 17.75. Boys triple, Eli Hagelin was second. He was with a 38.11.5. Boys shot put, Gunnar Olson was sixth at 33.7". And then Noah Meyer was eighth at 33.02". Boys discus, Gunnar Olson was 12th at 85.04, and then Noel Meyer was 18th at 72.00. Scoring wise, we end up finishing third. Monty won it with 239, Benson was second 114, and then we were third at 109. So again, for what we had for bodies, we had no Gunner. Boyke was around because he had his wisdom teeth pulled, and I gave him garbage about that because I said, you're going to probably be a little bit more challenged because you're not going to have lost all that wisdom you had. So he was out in that one. Then we had other kids gone on vacation. So, again, I thought our kids really, really handled it and got through a lot of things. And so we just got to find some nice weather to really find out how good we can be.
That's right. And you really have a busy week up and coming with a brand new annual event coming.
Yeah, we'll to Morris. Now will be a good one. Hopefully the weather, it sounds like temperatures are going to be better. Just going to see what we got for wind. That'll be our always biggest thing. So that'll be up there on Tuesday. Then we'll turn around. Then we'll have our invitational, which is now going to be the Dave Nibby invite. That's going to be a really, really nice thing. The family really has done a lot of things to promote, and You can't go wrong with what they've done to help the track program. And also with Dave, he'd put so much time and effort into the programs throughout his years of coaching with, in Madison and also at Lacaparo, so, and being AD. So it's well deserved, and it's a due time, but I'm glad we're able to work together. And so it's going to be a big meet, and, we've got 9 teams in, and it's going to be some very solid events, and you're going to see some very good kids. Like I said, just can the weather agree with anything right. We do with it, but I'm just very fortunate that Nibbies are willing to put something into the track program.
And I think all the children are planning to be there as well.
Sounds like that's what Dawn had last said when I talked to her the other day. That sounds like all the family will be there, and Dave will probably be there too. And for how long? Again, it's just great to see
depends
that.
On the weather.
It depends on the weather how it works. And like I said, they're doing a lot of things. With winners get T-shirts and the ribbons, and then just a lot of things. They're covering basically the expenses to host a track meet, and you don't see that very often, and that's really, really nice and to benefit the program, and it's going to be hopefully a really good day for the kids too to excel.
Yeah, and then don't you go also on Friday?
Friday, we may go Friday. There's the Hamlin Elite Meet down. I don't know if that one you're thinking of. We're going to see if Boyk can get in the high jump or triple jump down there. That'd be a Friday, and that's what they usually bring the top 12 kids in the state of Minnesota to compete down there on Friday. So we're going to see if he can get in. I think he can get in the high jump, and that's kind of the one we're looking at. So we're going to probably maybe back him off a little bit on Thursday just so he's not so dead-legged, but we're going to try to get him in that. And then so that will be then. I know we got a junior high meet on Friday also, so we'll have that. And then then we got the Howard Woods, so we got a lot of trying to get some show for the top kids been running well.
That's right. Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck this up-and-coming week. And like I said, what a feature event, and it will be an annual event on Thursday for the Nibby Invitational. And come on out and watch that and maybe get some renewed friendship of some of the people in the family, the Nibby family. So
I know there's a lot of former coaches that I had when I was in high school at Argonne back, so it's going to end. So that'll be the interesting, seeing a lot of them I haven't seen in a long time, too.
That's right. So, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. We'll take this break and be talking softball with Scott Swatsky after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash.
This week at the Country Butcher, prime sirloin steaks are $8.99 a pound and all fish 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling Ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
On Saturday, April 20th, in honor of Earth Day, Lac Parle County will be hosting a free paper shredding event for Lac Parle County residents to dispose of identity-sensitive materials safely and conveniently. Marcos Technologies will be on site to provide confidential document destruction as you watch. This paper shredding event will be held at the Lac Parle County Highway Garage in Madison from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on April 20th. The truck will shred paper of all types, including boxes of bank checks, hard and soft cover books, including phone books, envelopes, file folders, notebooks, and hanging files. Paper clips and staples do not need to be removed. Materials not acceptable include anything wet, plastic, or three-ring binders. If you have any questions about what to bring on Saturday, April 20th, to this paper shredding event, or if you have a large amount of paper that you plan to bring, please call the Lac Parle County Environmental Office at 320-598-3132. That's 320-598-3132.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with head coach Scott Swatsky of the Lac Parle Valley girls softball team. And good morning, Scott.
Morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Another week of softball. And, well, you kind of got some rain this week, but you got a couple games in.
Yeah, we did. We got a doubleheader in on Thursday. But otherwise, Mother Nature has been a little cruel this week.
So. Yep, wild and cruel.
Yeah.
Boy, it was cold yesterday. Yet you got a game postponed yesterday, right?
Yep. On Thursday, on Thursday we were able to squeeze one in with some cold weather, and then Friday's game against Ortonville was postponed just because of the temperatures and the wind chill and whatnot. Yep. So,
okay. Well, tell us about that doubleheader with McCray.
Yeah, so that was really our first conference game. We had started off the season with two non-conference games against section opponents. So we headed down to Raymond and took on a McCray team in a doubleheader. Really nice to see our bats and our discipline at the plate really took over. As we started the game off, McCray did start off. We were the home team in the first game, and McCray started off scoring a couple runs on us and made me a little bit nervous, but I think our veterans really stepped up and we're ready to roll. And then the bottom of the first, we scored seven runs. So we took a nice 7-2 lead, got real comfortable. I think Val Piotr she started for us. She's been very solid, and consistent for us. Just really gave her that confidence that she had the offense behind us. And honestly, inning by inning, we just kind of chipped away, scored a few runs. Had some good things happen. We're aggressive on the bases. And so we scored a run in the second, two runs in the third, another in the fourth. and two more in the sixth to end up 10 running McRae in the first game, 13-3 in six innings. And, you know, just a couple highlights from that game. Gertie Sieg was in, got a little playing time, first playing time of the season. So she was playing outfield for us. But she came up with two runners in scoring position in the bottom of the sixth and ripped a single up the middle to score those two runs to end the game, which was a great highlight for her. She had a couple nice at-bats before that, so it was nice to see her have some success in terms of a base hit. And then ended the game, so it saved on Val's arm a little bit, too, just in case she would have been needed in the second game. As a team, we had six hits, and the piece that I'm most excited about, zero errors. So defensively, we played well, and that's really going to be key for us to make sure that we don't provide our opponents with extra outs.
Right. So, that's the strength of your team, I think, isn't it?
For sure. You know, our infield has a year of starting experience, and like I've talked about it, they get more confident every single game, more comfortable. Their IQ is coming along. Brandy Meyer had a play in the second game where a ball was knocked off her Kendall's glove, and Brandy charges it, and I'm not kidding you, through an absolute rifle across the diamond to get a girl out at first base. So when you see these girls making these plays as juniors, it's really exciting to think about what is going to come for us defensively.
Okay, great. Stats on the first game?
Yeah, so we had Jada Kessler had a breakout game for us, which was fun. She got her first hits on the season, went 2-for-4 with a single and a triple. She really got into one, drove one to right center. It was just a great piece of hitting. Kendall Shellstead, I know she's been pressing a little bit, waiting for their first few hits, and she also was 2-for-4. Had two doubles, three RBIs, scored three runs, so she was active on the bases. Brandy Meyer was 1-for-3, and Gertie Sieg was 1-for-2 for us. So we only ended up with six games, but I think what's exciting here is we had 11 walks, and so there was discipline at the plate where they were waiting for their pitches and weren't so aggressive that they were swinging at bad pitches. So, just a lot of patience and yet aggressiveness at the plate. Had seven stolen bases, so we were really on things that game.
Okay.
And then as far as pitching is concerned, Val threw all six innings for us. Gave up five hits, three runs. Three of those runs, all three of them were earned. And she had five strikeouts and three walks. So just really keeping us in the game, trusting her defense to make plays. And with that, we're going to have some success if we can keep doing that.
All right. Great win there in game one and then game two versus McRae.
Yeah, that one was a fun one to get rolling with. We had Kendall Shellstead started that. That was her first start of the season. And she's kind of nursing a bad calf right now, so we weren't 100% sure how that was going to go, which, again, was key that Val was able to get out of the first game with in six innings, save her arm a little bit. But Kendall locked in and really did a nice job for us. So she started that, went all seven innings. We did end up winning that game 6-3, but we're really in control most of the game. Kendall only gave up two hits. She was throwing hard. Her three runs that she gave up, they were all three earned. She had eight strikeouts, and with those eight strikeouts, there were eight walks. I don't know. I maybe don't have the best angle sitting on the side, but I thought she got squeezed a little bit. I thought there were some pitches that were close, but you know, we trust the umpire and to the best of my ability.
Anyway. Right.
but she got us out of some jams too. So, and the nice thing is when there was a walk, they weren't clustered together. So, I thought she had a real strong outing, especially considering she was nursing a little bit of a calf injury. And offensively, we really did a nice job hitting as well. We were selective. We only had five hits in this game, but we had six walks. So when you get 11 base runners, that can do some damage. We had 12 stolen bases this game. So like when we are on, we are aggressive. And We've got nice team speed. They get nice jumps. Just put some pressure on the defense. So that was fun. Our leading hitters this game, Claire Borstead was 1 for 2. Kendall Shelstead was 1 for 4. Kayla Jan was 1 for 3. And Jalen Lee was 1 for 2. So I've got to highlight, too, Claire Borstead had – she's got such a strong arm, and she's our catcher behind the plate. And McCray had decided to try a stealing attempt. And Claire's – Ryan Grunholtz has worked with our catchers here, so I'm going to give him a little shout-out. But Claire has this knack where she can snap throw to whatever base from her knees, and so her release is so quick, her arm is so strong, and the girl was just dead in the water.
Wow.
And it was fun to see the excitement in Claire's face, because she knew that the time that she had put in with Ryan Grunholtz had paid off. So shout out, Grunny, for the work that you've done with our catchers preseason. It was really fun, and her smile was electric. So just another solid outing. With we did have a couple errors this game, a couple mistakes. We had 2 errors, so nothing major. But we don't want to start the ball rolling with that. So I thought overall, on a cold, miserable day, we really did well.
All right, real good. Anything else on that game?
I think just a quick little highlight. Raya Borstead, first varsity experience here. She got in as a courtesy runner. We're trying to keep Kendall's leg a little healthy, so I threw her in at the time that Kendall's such a good base runner. But it was fun to see Raya hop in the game, too. She's been with us for a couple of years, helping out in all sorts of ways, catching, et cetera. And she's getting near that level where you just never know when you're going to be called on.
Right. Okay. All right. So a sweep of the McCray Wolverines. Coach Nancy... she's still over there, right?
Yep, she is. She is. Yep, she's a very nice lady.
Yep, she's been there a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, what's coming up for the softball team this week?
Yeah, we got a busy week coming up here. We play Benson at home on Monday, RCW at home on Tuesday. We go to Granite Falls to play YME on Thursday, and then Friday's game was rescheduled to next Friday, so we're at Ortonville for a doubleheader. So 5 games next week, one practice on Wednesday, and hopefully we can just continue to carry things over and keep rolling.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about next Saturday on the Coach's Show then.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, good luck this week then, Scott.
I appreciate it, Paul. Hopefully we can keep the ball rolling. And
that's head coach Scott Sawatsky of the La Caprile Valley girls softball team. We'll take a commercial break. Be back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
My name is Claire Borstead, and I'm a senior on the La Caprile Valley softball team. Our team would like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lovixing Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Triggerstead Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Aroma Deneen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borstead Rock and Excavation, Ag Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
It's Kubota's Orange Days at Kesselwood Enterprises outside of Marshall.
Your golden opportunity to score a deal that will make your neighbors green with envy. Shop this year's best selection of Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, utility vehicles, including the number one selling compact tractor in the USA, rated number one in durability and owner experience.
Get 2024 Kubota Orange Days best deals, like 0% APR for 84 months or up to $3,300 off the L3302 tractors.
Take a look at KesselwoodEnterprises.com and see our exclusive offers this spring.
An open house bridal shower celebrating Taylor Johnson, bride-to-be of Tyler Barrett, will be starting at 10 o'clock this morning at the Nassau Community Center. Happy birthday today, April 20th, to David Haas, Ryan Wiesman, Melissa Heinrich, Rick Strigge, Brandon Vonderhaar, Dallas Groovy, Aiden and Alexander Lewis, Justin and Jordan Perkins. Happy anniversary Saturday to Bart and Julie Hill, Bill and Marilyn Mathis, Ted and Michelle Nelson, Larry and Cheryl Giese of Canby. And then on Sunday, happy birthday to Julie Hill, Carol Denny, Kay Roth, Jim Sparky Prokop in Canby, J.B., Jerry Borman here in Madison with a birthday on the 21st, Anna Spickelmeyer. And happy anniversary Sunday to John and Kelly Fulton and Jeff and Tammy Amland. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Dawson Boyd, Lac La Parle Valley boys tennis team with head coach Austin Ireland. Good morning, Austin.
Morning, Paul.
Well, last Saturday down in Worthington, right?
Yeah, it was. Beautiful weather. It's not like this week where it was a little chilly. We actually got some, it was a good tournament.
All right. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we went down to Worthington. We ended up getting second place. We had Luke, a couple guys get placed. You know, we had Luke Stock and Gunnar Olson. We had them as our number one. They were in the first flight. They ended up getting third. They played a lot of good competition. You know, Worthington, a couple Worthington, they're a couple of their good teams. They did a good job. They got there.
How is the tournament set up, Austin? How does it run? You got a couple of different groups, or how does that work?
Yeah. So there was three flights. So we had your first and second doubles teams were in one flight. Then your third and fourth doubles teams were in another flight. And then your fifth and sixth doubles teams were in the other flight. So we each had we had a couple guys gone, so we didn't have a sixth doubles team. But we ended up having guys place, and that top one we ended up getting third there. And then in the black flight, which was the middle two, we had Brody Nelson and Hudson Giese. They ended up playing together, and they ended up getting first. They didn't lose a match all day. And then Tony Reap and Thomas Felton ended up getting third. Their only loss was to Hudson and Brody Nelson. So yeah, how that worked was you played everybody, and then at the end you'd play your teammate. So you would play your first singles to play your second, or excuse me, first doubles team to play your second doubles team. So Mitchell Myers and Brody Botham in that final round, they're playing for third place against Gunnar and Luke, against their teammates, and end up losing 5-4. So if they would have flipped a couple games around, they would have been placing. So it was a lot of fun. You know, basically it's, you know, Mike and Matt down there in Worthington, let's get these guys out here, let's play a whole bunch of different points, you know, and you just, it was just good tennis, good experience. You know, you don't ever get that enough in the spring. It's being such a short season and such a Minnesota spring weather, you don't hardly get that enough. So it was just a great time.
What kind of, how many tennis courts they got down there in Worthington?
They have 8.
Okay.
And what they do is you only play games to 9. You play 9 games. So whether it's 9-0, 5-4, 7-2, once the score equals 9, you're done, and then you move on to the next one. So if it is a cupcake or a blowout, it's only for 9 games. So okay. They do a nice job with that way.
Okay.
Yeah, fun time.
Good. Any other thing you want to talk about with Worthington? Or?
No, it's just it was a fun, good experience. And I know that hopefully we keep doing that again.
Okay. All right. And then you had a couple matches this week.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to play Minnewaska. That got rained. We moved that to, later in the year. And then Thursday, we went to Newland Spicer. And when we were leaving, Mr. Stelter had messaged me saying that Friday's match was going to be postponed. I was kind of wondering, well, why is that? Well, when I got off the bus in Newland Spicer, I kind of realized, okay, yeah, it's a little chilly out. And it was cold and cold and windy. Yeah, that was... We should be used to this by now, but
right.
It seems like it's always a shock to the system. I don't understand it.
We're Minnesotans.
Yeah. But no, we had a decent matchup. They ended up losing the 7-0 to Nolan Spicer. We had 3 matches there that went in the third set. Gunnar Olson, we had him at 1 single. He played this kid, Gomez, a sophomore, who just hit. And that kid could do whatever he wants with his forehand. He could cut butter with it. That kid did a good job. And, you know, Gunnar would move up, you'd lob him. Gunnar would, you know, say the baseline, he'd make him move up. Just could do whatever he wanted with them. Luke Stock ended up playing a second singles for us. He won his first set 6-4, and then lost the second set, and then went into the third set tiebreaker, and ended up losing 10-5. You know, it's one of the things. Him, him and Brody Boston also went. Brody Boston had four singles. He went into his third set, won his first set 7-5, lost 6-2, and then went into that third set losing that 10-8. So we had two opportunities at singles points where it could have went either way going into that third set. Mitchell Myers had third singles. He had a tough time. He had some allergies in his eyes. He couldn't hardly see, but he had a tough kid. Ended up losing in straight sets. We had Brody Nelson and Tony Reed, those guys playing together for the first time. They did an okay job. You know, they still got some things to work on. You know, Brody's played a lot more singles. But, you know, I think him and Tony does a good job communicating. Those guys, I think we can keep them together. They'll keep growing. Another match that went to three sets was our second doubles, Hudson Geezy and Thomas Felton. Those kids, you know, they're still green yet. Hudson's first year out, Thomas the second year out, but they do a great job of placement. Ended up losing 10-8 in that final tiebreaker. But, yeah, they got to set off the guys and almost flip the match. The only thing that, you know, we can get a little more pace and more top spin on it, but they do a good job of placement. They did a nice job at second doubles. And then our third double team, Gannon Andrews and Jeremiah Stevens, they ended up losing 6-2, 6-2. Again, we got to move a little bit more as a team, you know, and not just singling out the third double teams, but I think as a team, we got to work on our footwork a little bit more. You got to keep on getting better. We're loading. We're getting better. But hopefully we can get better a little faster than they'd like, but. We had a couple of exhibition matches. We had Cole Percy and Miguel de la Torre played, lost 9-0. And Aaron Will, he played a little bit Thursday. So, yeah, it was a tough match. New one on Spicer. The new coaches, they got Stephen Barber. He coached at YME for 26 years, retired in 2014, and back at it again.
So. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So what's coming up next for the tennis team?
So... well, weather permitting, we're supposed to take on Minnewaska on Monday. Minnewaska, they're highly ranked in the state. They are 12-0 already. We played three matches. They are 12-0 already. Just a juggernaut. We can keep postponing that. Maybe until next year or something. I don't mind about that. And then Tuesday we take on YME. And we go to Granite Falls for that. That should be a good matchup. They're a young team, but they're experienced for how young they are. So the grade is just a number for them. So we got to work, you know, bring our game to that. And then Thursday we take on Benson. So they're returning section champions. They didn't lose a whole lot from last year, so that's going to get a work cut out with Monday and Thursday being two highly ranked teams. That should be good. You know, we get better by playing those other guys, even though if we don't win or lose, you get better by playing guys that are better.
Right, so. Right. Busy week for you then.
Yeah, it's maybe you'll be in the field. I haven't got a call yet from Colby if I'm going to rest a tender yet. Not today, but it's getting a little nicer out.
Yep, supposed to be in the middle 60s or so most of the week, so hopefully we can get them in. So.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, anything else, Austin? We cover everything.
No, I think we got everything. We got. I just want to thank the ADs and all them transportation guys for keeping everything in line. This spring, it's kind of real busy with field trips and how many different sporting events and cancellation and rescheduling. So I just want to, thank them and thank, they do a good job.
For the report on the boys' tennis team this morning.
Thank you.
Yep, that's Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lockport Valley boys' tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Are you looking for top-notch health care services with a personal touch? Look no further than Madison Healthcare Services, this area's trusted partner in health. At Madison Healthcare Services, their primary care clinic is dedicated to keeping you and your family in the best of health. Their experienced staff of providers is here to deliver comprehensive care tailored just for you. Need specialized care? They've got you covered. Their specialty providers offer expert consultations and treatments to address your unique health needs. And for those who prefer the comfort of home, their home care service brings quality health care to your doorstep because they believe everyone deserves the highest level of care wherever they are. If you or your loved one is considering assisted living or long-term care, Madison Healthcare Services is the place to be. Their state-of-the-art facilities are designed with your comfort and well-being in mind. Madison Healthcare Services, where your health is their priority. For information or to schedule your appointment, call 320-598-7551. Madison Healthcare Services, caring for you close to home.
Sunday on an all-new Prairie Sportsman.
It's been great. It's a great bunch of guys.
The first year, I believe, was 1987.
And we caught a lot of fish over the years, frankly.
We're all getting to the age where who knows how much longer it'll last, but we're still having fun.
Spiny water fleas are an invasive zooplankton that have been in Minnesota since at least the 1990s. Spiny water fleas are almost inedible for other small fish.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk La Caprile Valley Boys Golf with Head Coach Barry Besson. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, you guys are going to be on your way to the Worthington. You got a tournament today, huh?
Yeah, we got the schedule for the Worthington Invitational, so we head down there. And
go down there every year, don't you?
We've been scheduled to. We've never actually been able to play down there. It always gets called off. So,
see what happens today.
See what happens, yeah. But every other year it's either been snow or something, so... We've never actually gotten to play it yet. It's been on the schedule for 4 or 5 years, but
I've golfed that golf course a couple times with my brother who lives down in Worthington. There, it's a good golf course.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been there in quite a while, so yeah. I'm sure it's grown up a little bit from last time I was there. But yeah, it's good course.
Okay, well, we'll preview that in a little bit. Let's talk about this past week.
All right, we had two events this past week. Monday, we went to the Marshall Invitational. Mm-hmm. Nice temperature, 70, low 70s, pretty breezy though. So we've kind of had our fun with the wind so far. So we had a lot of wind that day, but it was nice and the sun was out. So it was nice to, be able to not be out there in layers and,
right.
people are actually able to wear shorts and things
that
like that.
That was last Monday.
That was on Monday. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So we ended up coming in 8th out of 17 teams with a score of 361. And the event was won by Marshall with 305. It was a great score, 305 for them. Dawson Boyd was 2nd, Lakeview 3rd, Central Minnesota Christian 4th, Canby 5th, Morris 6th, Redwood 7th, and then we were 8th, and we were ahead of Jackson County Central, Murray County Central, RTR Bold, McRae, Minneota, YME, TMB, and RCW. So, a lot of teams from the area now, from the kind of the southwestern area there. Mm-hmm. So, good to see some of those. We don't always see some of those teams. And individually, we were led by Carson Bessenen, who shot 79. Was doing all right last 3 or 4 holes. Had a couple of 3 putts and a bad tee shot and ended up shooting 79. Him along with others kind of affected the early season. Greens, short game, things that aren't, they'll come. It's just, it's early season. But he's 79. He's good for 7th place in the tournament out of about 105 kids, whatever
nice.
It was. Then we had Caden, we went to Matt Arndt with a 92, Griffin Kranz with a 94. Noah Arndt with a 96, and then Caden Stender with a 97 to round out our roster for the meet. So, first 18-hole meet of the year, very nice day to be out there and do that. And course is in good condition, and it's the first time out doing that. And different, like I said, we're still have been adjusting to greens and chipping and putting and things like that. So that'll improve.
Yeah, like Griffin Kranz was, probably one of his first time playing the course, or he's played it before, I'm sure.
I don't think if he had, maybe once, maybe not at all.
But as far as competitive in high school.
Yeah. So it was, a couple of kids was the first time playing there, and Marshall greens have got some slope to them, and they can be... It can be tricky. I mean, they're not running at summer speed by any means, but still probably a little quicker than we've seen yet this year, and with the slope to them and chips running out a little more than we've been used to, and that sort of thing. So, it was a good event for us. Good to get in there and play and get some of that experience and prepare us to move.
Then you had a home meet.
Yeah, Thursday we had our home meet, conference meet. It was our turn to host. Out in Madison, and a beautiful 55-degree day with wind blowing 35 miles an hour or so. It was quite
a little nippy,
quite cold and blustery. But it turned out to be a really good day for us as we ended up winning that conference meet with a score of 156, which is outstanding.
Yeah, nice.
Anytime you go under 160, that's tremendous. Yeah. 156, and especially in conditions like that, granted it was our home course, but still the conditions were not far from ideal.
Right.
So we're first with 156, beating Central Minnesota Christian by 14 shots. Dawson Boyd was third, Community Christian fourth, McCray fifth, and Ortonville was sixth. Individually for us, we were able to sweep the top three medals. Carson Bessman winning the event with a medalist. He went one under par 34.
Nice.
Opened with a bogey and rallied a little bit. Caden Stender placed second overall with a 37. I think he opened with a bogey too, so able to cruise on through the rest of the way. Griffin Kranz ended up winning the tiebreaker for third, shot 40. So
nice.
Great score, you know, seventh grader in his third meet, a great score there. Then we went to Noah Arndt with 45, and then Matt Arndt with 47, Gavin Carl with 47 in his first meet of the year. So I know he had mentioned, talking to Gavin, he just said, a little nervous at the first meet, and he's been busy running track too. He'll settle in just fine. I think, it's the first time competitively for the spring. It can be a little, We got some young guys.
Yeah.
Yep, Noah's an eighth grader, Griffin's a seventh grader, and we got Grant Bierke, who's be playing in Worthington. It'll be his first meet of the year, and ninth grader, and with obviously a scheduled baseball too. So we got some young kids that are doing some things, along with the JV. So,
how does that work in the Cabinet Conference? And you hosted Thursday. Does each team in the Cabinet Conference host one?
Each team, we have the two divisions, North and South. Each team in the North hosts one, and those six schools go to each one.
Okay, gotcha.
The South does the same thing, and then in mid-May, we all get together for the conference tournament in Marshall, where we then determine the overall conference champion and the all-conference teams and all that based on the scores from those meets and then the Marshall tournament. So
good. All right. Anything on the home meet? Cover everything?
I think we got everything on the home meet.
Okay. All right. What's coming up next?
Next week, Monday. It was originally scheduled for Tuesday. They bumped it up to Monday to accommodate the girls' Marshall Invitational. It was supposed to be last Tuesday when it rained. So we're going to play our conference meet at Dawson on Monday. And then Thursday, Friday, we go over to the New London Wilmer invite. New London, we will go over Thursday. I think we start about 11 o'clock there. And then on Friday, we go to Wilmer to Eagle Creek, our section course, play there, I think at 10 o'clock on Friday. Usually somewhere between 15 and 20 teams, a mix of some of the bigger, big 3A schools and some of the area schools too. So pretty good mix, and it's a good event and, good competition and, should be a lot of fun.
So Monday at Dawson and Thursday and Friday up in Wilmer.
Well, New London on Thursday and Wilmer on Friday.
New London on Thursday and
Wilmer on Friday.
Wilmer on Friday, okay.
Yep. So,
all right, well, good luck this week, and we'll hear all about it. You have a lot to report on next Saturday then.
All right, yep.
Hopefully it's a little warmer.
I hope so too.
All right, thanks, Barry.
Thank you.
Head coach Barry Besson of the Lockbrow Valley Boys Golf Team will take a commercial break. Be back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
If you're ready for a home makeover, we suggest you make your way over to Mineota Building Materials. Stop in and talk to Kevin and his staff at Mineota Building Materials, and they can help you create the new look you want for your home. They also offer custom design plans for new homes, additions, ag, storage, workshops, and residential buildings. Stop in, and they'll be glad to help you with estimates and give you construction tips that will make your project go smoother. That's priceless. Mineota Building Materials. They're located right along Highway 68 in Mineota, and they're a proud sponsor of the Mineota Vikings.
Turn to Tufte Auto and Sales in Madison for all your collision and glass repair needs, or if you are looking for just the right Harley-Davidson rebuilder. Check out their website at TufteAuto.com today. Tufte Auto and Sales is ready to meet and exceed your expectations for collision repair and glass replacement. That's Tufte Auto and Sales, East Highway 40, Madison, Minnesota.
Well,
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Another good Coaches Show, talking to all seven coaches. Let's hope that we get a little better weather this up-and-coming week, because everybody's in the midst of having events going varsity, JV, junior high, and it's tough to make them up at this stage of the game if they get postponed or if they can't have it. In many cases, it's just canceled completely. So we need some good weather. We got rain now this past week, so everyone's ready to start farming and listening to the radio with Paul Ramo doing play-by-play as well. Well, end the show here with a couple of Dick Newman things. This is called Life Hacks. So maybe something you can try sometime to remove a splinter, like on your one of your fingers or someplace on your skin. Apply a paste of baking soda and water. Then wait several minutes for the splinter to pop right out of the skin. Never heard of that, and maybe I'll try it sometime. You make a little paste of baking soda, put it on that where the sliver is, and then it should pop right out of the skin. Wow. And secondly, and finally, put a small amount of 7-Up in a flower vase, and it will preserve the life of the flowers much longer. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.